I know sometimes I get carried away. Sometimes I get excited. Sometimes I get zealous. Sometimes I'm loud. I'm quiet. I run. I walk. I whisper. Sometimes I don't even know how it's going to come. Sometimes I'm almost afraid of what the Lord's going to do. But all I know is I want to be in it. I want to be in His will. And I want to do all that I know to do so that I can be blessed of Him and reach unto others. The Lord has put in our spirit this thought that I want to share with you tonight. We're going to read from the 12th verse of 1 Philippians and pay close attention to the 12th verse. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. It's amazing he was that honest. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. We'll come back there in a minute. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. We're going through verse 20. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice. Yea, and will rejoice. For I know, and somebody say this phrase with me, that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer in the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest, this is where I am, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You're reading the words of a man that was in bondage. You're reading the words of a man that was riding out of shackles in prison. We're not talking about Paul, the minister that was jumping up and down behind the pulpit having a good time. We're not talking about the Paul that lived in air conditioning, cars and homes, and having drive-through windows for fast food, having the convenience of the internet to look something up he didn't know. We're not talking about that kind of Paul. But we're talking about the Paul that was in prison, that was imprisoned for just going out and doing what he felt led to do. But something in this is provocative to me that is continuing what the Lord has been preaching through us lately. And I just have to go in it and follow it. I don't know about you. He's been greatly increasing my faith. He's helping me to be faithful in things that I never have been before. Well, brother, we're supposed to be faithful over everything. You just try being faithful over everything. And come back to me and let me know how easy that was for you. Because I'm here to tell you that I'm just as grumpy in the morning as some of you. And it's hard to rise up and be immediately faithful and in good conversation. I'm here to tell you that when pressure comes on me for my job, that it's hard to be faithful when I've got expectations and deadlines and people saying, when's this going to be done? When are we going to get this done? When are we going to get that done? And all the pressure beginning to overwhelm, it's hard to be faithful in that hour. When you have people that say they love you, come against you, and make you feel like that you're about this big, it's hard to be faithful for them. When you have a situation where you've walked in lack or in neglect of something for so long and you wonder if it's ever going to change, it's hard to dig down in here and be faithful about what God's doing. But if you can just get your faith together, if you can just begin to believe and start with something, then He can begin to move in your life. But I'm going to share something provocative with you that it comes from the words of somebody that was in prison, that wasn't getting out, that didn't have much hope or reason to be happy. You'll hardly find anybody that has to be caged up in the hospital or laid down and told that they can't leave until they recover. All they that can think about is getting out of there. We go to the nursing home and there's some of them, bless their hearts, they don't have their mind, but they still know they don't want to be there, and they're trying to plot any way they can to get out of there. I know about this, that when I'm in something long enough, I don't want to stay in it forever. I want to way of escape. How many of you can testify to that? You don't want to sit in this mess forever. You don't want to deal with it forever. But here we find somebody that couldn't change the circumstance of his persecution. There wasn't a way of escape. There wasn't any way in changing it. It was some of those unavoidable events of life that come to truly test your faith. My faith is not tested by me believing over $10 or $100 or even $1,000. My faith is tested for him to increase my entire income. My faith is not just tested over sniffles, runny nose, and a cough. But our faith is supposed to be tested that as we lay on of hands, we can see cancer be removed. My faith is not tested coming in and just hoping that we maybe feel God in the service. But my faith is tested to believe that every time I step in the door, that something good is going to happen. My eyes are beginning to be opened of what the Lord is really wanting me to set out to do. It's not to fight over a few dollars, and it's not just to fight over when I feel bad and feel sick every now and then, but there is something that even goes beyond my own vision, a greater blessing that I've not even begun to inherit yet. I've not even saw it. I look at my life and I think, God, how much more could I be blessed? How much more could I receive and be happy? How much more could I even receive from you, God? But he's showing me that, son, if you'll be faithful over these things that you're dealing with now, that I will make you a ruler over many, or the ability to have dominion. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but there are some things that you should have dominion over by now. There are some things you should have victory over by now. There are some things that have just got to be common sense decisions in your life to do and not do. There are some things that we have got to stop making excuses in and learn to grow up in God a little bit and learn not to be so oversensitive, not to be so jealous of everything, not to be so easily offended, but to learn to grow up and be a living example. I'm talking about a Paul that was in the worst of situations, but what do we find him doing? He was finding hope where there was none. He was finding a way through when there was none. He was finding a reason to encourage when he had no reason to encourage anybody. So let's read and examine these verses. And I'm going to read you a different translation of this because I want you to understand what it's saying. It says in verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." What I'm about to talk about isn't popular, but we're going to talk about it. We live in society that empowers us to live in our hurt. We live in a society that empowers us to fight for justice all the way. We live in a society that tells us to stand up for ourselves and not be ran over. We live in a wicked world that tells us to grab life by the horns and live it any way that you want to. I seldom find people today that are sincerely happy with their life. Sincerely happy with their life. Satisfied with what they have. Because we live in a world where we don't have everything we want. And we're defined by what we own. And we're defined by what we wear. We're defined by the pictures we post on social media. We're defined by the tweets that we write out for people to read. That is some supposed attribution to who you are. I'm defined by something that is deeper. If we lived our life and based it on what we owned, then we would be quick to judge and to tell others that since you don't have, that you don't have God. And we live in a world where it's just about getting that way. Instead of being defined by what the Word tells us who we are, we're being defined by what our compadres say that we should do. Even what our family sometimes tells us, unbeknownst that they're causing more turmoil. Our friends, our colleagues. We're letting our ears entertain the thoughts of the flesh and be defined by what we can get, what we own, and what we can show off. But if you're living this way, there is no peace. Don't you wish just for a moment that you could look at your life and be content with the good and with the bad? Don't we want to be in a place where when we examine what we've suffered and what we have enjoyed, that in the spectrum of it all, that we can still say we're happy? If I lived in just my suffering, I would probably be a drunk. If I lived in everything that I had a reason to be unhappy over, I'd never be content. If I lived my Christian life like this, there is no joy. There is no contentment. There is nothing anybody could do that would change my mind about trying to do better. So I know that it's not in that stuff. I know that it's not in what people have that makes me feel like I need more. I know it's not in what they're going after and fighting for in this life that defines who I am. But something has happened in my life that has caused me to grow content even in times when I suffer. Jesus even recognized that there was going to be people that didn't want to do the walk of discipleship. It wasn't an easy way. We want instant praise. We want instant word. We don't want to fight for anything. We feel like we deserve everything. And we want to be content with only the good. And feel like that the suffering is something of God's cause. Questioning God over any bad thing that goes on in our life. But the greatest example of minister that is probably one of the most preached men of God was in a situation that not very many people could be happy in today. And he said these powerful words, I want you to know that through what I've been through and what I'm going through now, that it is for the progression of the gospel. That it is to move forward the kingdom of heaven. That what I'm sitting in right now is to cause somebody else to be blessed. There are so many people that could be saved off of the testimony of one who is suffering. There are so many people that could find strength in the words of somebody that just would be willing to admit that they're going through a hard time but still trusting God. But we wait for the moments, and when all the bills are paid, we wait for the opportunities where everything seems to be going okay before we even give a half subpar, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't kind of praise. But I have learned something, church, and I'm here to tell you about it, that I've learned that I am content whether I am in good days or whether I am in bad days, because the substance of which when I found, when God found me, has given me a hope that I can find when I can't see it on my own, when the terms aren't in my favor, when everybody pushes on me and tells me that I can't do it, I still am able to find hope when what I'm looking at appears to be impossible. I still find a reason to go on when everything is turned upside down in an instant moment. When everything we knew is gone, I can still find hope. Church, do you have this hope? Do you have that remaining, that eternal, that almighty presence of God dwelling in you? For only in the presence of God will you ever find refuge where you sit. God can break down the prison. He can tear down the walls. But you've got to walk out of there before you're free. You've got to decide that you're going to learn to be content with such as you have. Paul was showing by his living suffering that he could still be faithful. He said, I'm between whether I should stay or whether I should go. And some of us have probably prayed, Lord, just take me home. I've had enough. Just take me on. Some of us have probably just gave up and just said, I'm done. I just had a conversation with somebody on the phone today that had just given up. And all that I knew to do was tell him, brother, the greatest blessings to be found are in the times when you're the lowest, when you're suffering the greatest, because that is when God can progress the most. There's a reason that you suffer. There's a reason that you go through things. There's a reason that you're tested. There's a reason why it's difficult, because God cannot progress greatly in someone who feels like they already have everything. God cannot progress in someone who has pride and can't come in and worship humbly. God can't progress in a vessel that's unwilling to receive of him and to allow themselves to be lowered. But he makes the greatest progress in the times when we don't have it, when we can't see it, and when we don't know when it's coming. I don't know about you, but I feel the power of God, because I know that though I don't see it and though I don't know when, I still know and have hope, and I'm still content with my life. And for the first time this past couple years, for the first time in my life, I am sincerely content. I'm sincerely happy. It's not in what I have. You might see things I have and say, man, I wish I had what you had, but it's not in what I have. You might think that you would want to come up here and do what I'm doing right now. You might wish that upon yourself, but it's not without suffering. It's not without paying a price. And God can only be greater in someone that's willing to bear the gospel. We read in the scriptures and it talks about those that preach and speak with envy and with strife. There's a lot of people that's preaching right now frustrated. They're angry. It sounds like the word, but it's nothing to convict. And people are falling under deception by this kind of preaching. Because if it's not sincere, it's not going to pierce the heart for change. Everybody can come in and agree with the truth. Everybody say amen. You have the ability to say that anytime you want. You don't even have to be in good standing with God to say the word amen. You can say something's truth even though it's not. There was a man on the radio once we were listening to, and he was just all kinds of awful. He was so mad at some people that it hurt his feelings. And he was going on. He said, they're just a bunch of liars and hypocrites and no good for nothings. And he was like, ain't that right, church? And you heard one person faintly in the distance and said, amen. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Is this what you're going to preach on the radio? Is this what you're going to tell people in the day that they're living in? We have prostitutes that are walking the streets. We have drug addicts that are hungry that are walking the streets, and we're going to spend our time looking at each other and preaching in contention? I don't think so. I don't come to play around and look and let you look at me and look at what I own and make you think that I'm something special, but I'm here tonight in my suffering demonstrating by the power of God that through Christ that you can do all things. But even more than that, that God's greatest progression is in your greatest suffering. He can move so much in you when you will be willing to just let it go. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I could have not been any more hurt. I could have not been any more broken. There was no pieces left. The devil had took me and grounded to where I didn't even know who I was. I was raised 15 years under parents that brought me to church. I was raised 15 years under sound preaching. I was raised 15 years through all the Sunday school programs, through all the Bible schools, through all the snow cones and the hot dogs and the good times and the inflatable ball pits where you jump around and have a good time. I was raised in everything, but there still comes a time when the devil is going to press upon your own life. And what I'm here to ask you is that when you're living your life in society, are you letting people see God in you in your lowest estate? No, we're not. We're complaining. We're complacent on God. We're unhappy with our situation. Therefore, we do not feel like God deserves our thanks, for we don't have what we've asked for.
That'll preach. Everybody wants to be on fire for God, but you only get to the fire if you learn to face things.
I could have not been more torn to pieces. But you know where that finally brought me to? It brought me to a place where when God's Spirit was presented to me, that I finally didn't reject it anymore. I didn't turn it away again. I didn't say, maybe next week. I didn't say, maybe another time. I knew that I needed Him. I needed Him. Don't let society make you walk out here and try to do this on your own. Because you're going to get to a place where everything that you are is going to be crumbled all the way down. But even if you get to a place where you can't even see who you used to be and how you used to praise God and how you used to be obedient, even if you couldn't see all of that, then you can still be redeemed and forgiven. I was forgiven and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was instantaneous. The moment I believed it in my heart that I was forgiven, no sooner than a moment had passed by, as soon as the power of God moved into my acceptance, then I began to flow out something. There, I mean, it was the quickest progression that I've ever seen in all the years of ministry. As soon as I said, God, forgive me, in my heart, I felt something turn in my belly. I felt something different take place in my life. I couldn't have got any lower, but when he touched me, I couldn't have felt any higher than I was that night. And when you are in the lowest of places, church, you've still got to find hope in it. You've still got to praise God in it. You've still got to, because that's where the greatest portion of the anointing is. When the enemy has crushed everything you've got and every fear that tries to come upon you is raging rampant, when you have done all that you can, then when God comes in, he can move in and change things that maybe your pride at one time had said you'll never do, or maybe the doctrine said that you'd never do it. But all that I knew is that when I was desperate enough for change, that God poured it in and he moved in my life and changed it and worked it for my good. The suffering does not have to be as bad as we are letting ourselves live. That's also provocative and goes against a lot of what you hear today. It doesn't have to be as bad. He was sitting in shackles. Somebody get this vision with me. Put in there for doing the right thing. Looking out through the bars and not an open window. Glory to God. Looking through and not seeing any freedom anymore for his fleshly life. But still something inside of him chose to live. Something inside of him chose to live. Something inside of you. That something is the Holy Ghost, and it will cause you to choose to live.